Today's message is titled, Can You Keep a Promise? And I want you to think about that. Can you keep a promise? What is a promise? The definition of a promise is a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something specified. A legally binding declaration that gives the person to whom it is made a right to expect or to claim the performance or forbearance of a specified act. Promises. We've all made promises. We've all received promises. I mean, those of you here that are married, as you stood up, I don't know about today's wedding vows. You know, they got kind of strange on us. But used to, when you got married, you stood up and you promised to love, honor, obey. And I know some of the ladies they didn't like that obey part, so they wanted that taken out. And, you know, but you promise to do these things. You promise to stick it out. And a lot of promises got broken on that. Currently here in the United States, we're in a primary election cycle, which is going to lead to the nomination of the candidate that will run against each other from the various political parties. And as you watch and hear what they have to say, or if you watch some of their debates on television, you will hear some of them say, I promise that if I'm elected, I will do thus and so. And how many times have we heard that in the past when a politician, even other people sometimes, get up and state that they're going to do something? And you realize, if you really pay attention, some of the things they're promising they're going to do, they really can't do on their own anyway, you know? So if they get the right amount of opposition, there's no way they're going to be able to do it. So they can't keep a promise sometimes. But they will make promises. Some of them may have good intention of keeping their promises, and some of them are only saying what they think you want to hear. If I say this, it will help me get elected. Then when I'm in there, I can do what I want. And we've seen that over and over in our government sometimes. And I'm sure governments of other countries, they see the same things happening. People make promises. And sometimes they have no intention of keeping those promises. Well, they make these promises, they make these statements, but like I said, that's been part of the cycle for a long time. I just wanted to kind of share a few examples of promises that have been expounded over the years. This one, I'm kind of glad it didn't get kept. But in 1928, Herbert Hoover promised a chicken in every pot. That part I'm glad he didn't, you know, and a car in every garage. Well, we're seeing that that really didn't happen. In 17th century France, Henry IV reputedly wished that each of his peasants would enjoy a chicken in his pot every Sunday. He was being real generous. He'd have one every week, you know. And actor Chuck Norris, we all here in this congregation know who actor Chuck Norris is. He's probably most famous for his role as Walker, Texas Ranger. But he made a statement a few years ago, and he said, I was wondering the other day, if I ran for president, what would be my campaign promises? He said, I would tattoo an American flag with the words, In God We Trust, on the forehead of every atheist. And here's the one I really like. I would replace Letterman, Lennon, and Conan once monthly with stand-up comedy, since stand-up comedy is what most government officials do anyway. So he would put the government officials in their place because he's saying that what they do is really stand-up comedy. So some of the promises we hear and we know are most likely not going to be kept and cannot be for a variety of reasons. Well, we laugh about some of these things, you know, we hear a lot of times, I promise. But you know what? That happens in other places. It's not just the politicians that make promises that don't keep them. We all run into people that make promises that they don't keep. And some of them, when they make that promise, they really have no intention of keeping that promise. I've had so many promises made to me and broken that I really don't know what to think about it even, you know. We think about promises that have made that people make to us, and they say, well, I promise you that, you know, I'll do this. And I know there was a guy that made a promise to me back, I don't know when, it's been 30, 40 years ago. He borrowed some money from me, and he said, I promise I will get this back to you. A couple of years later, I ran into him at the grocery store. Yeah, I'll get that money back to you. Well, it's at least 30 years, and I don't know where he's at, and I don't know where, you know, and so on. But I've never seen a dime of that promise, you know. And you've probably, every one of us, had somebody promise you something like that at some time and say, you know, this is what's happening here. It's just going on and on and on like this, you know. And we have people in church sometimes make promises. I promise that I'll do this. And they don't do it. They make promises. And we break promises. I think when we make a promise, we should be doing it as if we're making that promise to God. And people have made promises to God, too, just the same. I think I told you the story once about the guy that was flying, and you know he was afraid, and he prayed, God, if you'll get me safely, I'll give you everything I've got. And then at the end of the flight, the preacher sitting behind him said, I heard your promise that you made. Are you ready to fulfill that promise because you got here safely? And the guy says, hey, I made God a better deal. I promised if you ever got me on one of these things again, on one of these airplanes again, I'd give him everything I've got, you know, instead of just half of it. Well, sometimes we're like that. We try to weasel out of a promise as we make our promises. And I've had people over the last year, for example, oh, Pastor, I'll do this, or I'll do that. I'm still waiting, you know. Nobody's sitting here, but I'm, you know. God hears when you make a promise. So we look at people and we wonder, are they going to keep their promises? And yes, we all do the same things. We sometimes because of extenuating circumstances, we cannot keep a promise. You know, sometimes something, you promise to do something and something happens that you can't do it. But that's a little bit different. But you know that there are over 7,500 promises in the Bible? It's a lot of promises. How many of you ever heard that chorus? Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm living in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Anybody here ever hear that song? Well, a couple of heads are shaking. Yeah, we don't sing that song anymore. I wonder why sometimes. Well, I remember sitting many years ago in Bible college, and this song was sung, I think, maybe that morning in our devotions as we started the day, and one of the professors got up and stared at everybody, and he says, you know, he said, that song's not really true. And he got a lot of startled looks. Every promise in the book is mine. And he's saying that's not true. Well, you better read some of those promises because it's true. Every promise in the book is not mine. If I'm a Christian, certain promises apply to me. If I'm not a Christian, there are certain promises that apply to that person then. If they're not a Christian, because some only deal with certain individuals, and promises can be broken down to various groups. In fact, there are essentially four groups that promises can be broken into. Universal, individual, conditional, and unconditional. Now, we may consider a person who breaks a promise to have told us a lie, even if they break their promise. Well, they promised me this, they lied to me. You know, you ever hear somebody say that? We probably all have. Well, God does not break His promises. That's one thing we can be assured of, that God does not break His promises. In fact, in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? When God speaks it, it's going to happen. It's going to take place. That's in the Old Testament. And some people, well, that was in the Old Testament. Nah, I'm only living in the New Testament. Well, here's what the New Testament has to say. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. We cannot always put our trust in the fact that people will keep their promises. Most of us try to keep our promises. We do our best to keep our promises. And sometimes for various reasons, as I said, we cannot keep it. But we do our best to try to keep it. But God keeps His promise. His word is true. What He says, He will do. Again, as I mentioned, there are four types of promises. There is the universal. That applies to everything. God has said it's going to take place, and it applies to everything. Universal promise. And then there's the individual promises, and they apply to an individual. You know, as you read the promises in the Bible, you find that quite often. There were promises that applied universally, and maybe in that sense to a group or a specific nation of people, that God promised thus and so would happen. And it may have been some promise of something good that was going to happen, or it may have been a promise of something bad that was going to happen to them. But He made those promises to a universal group. But a lot of times you find He speaks to an individual person, makes a promise to them. Abraham. He made a promise to Abraham. He said, Abraham, I will make you a father of nations. But Abraham had to be obedient to God for God to fulfill that promise. And sometimes as we read these promises of what things God will do in our behalf, the reason we don't see the promise taking place in our life is because we have not done our part. Because we have to do our part, and a lot of it. There's conditional promises. Those conditional promises generally start with the word if. If, the Bible tells us. It's the scripture, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. Well, we pray for God to bless our nation, but are we as a nation being obedient to God? Are we following what God told us to do? The word if appears in Scripture 1,602 times, and it implies that there is a condition. And then there's unconditional promises, which mean there are no conditions involved. It will happen. And we don't have time, obviously, to go into all the promises that are in the Bible, but I do want to deal with a few promises that are in the Bible this morning, because Romans chapter 8, verses 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. In fact, I heard a preacher on TV this morning quote that very verse this morning, all things work together for good. And he was describing, had just described a horrific accident that he and his wife had been in a number of years ago. In fact, one that almost took their lives. And he's saying, all things work together for... Sometimes we don't see how some things, when they happen to them, are going to work together for our good. But I've got news for you. When you are following God's plan, when you are being obedient to God, when you are living for God, God's going to take care of you. We talk about people who say, I got your back. I'll watch out for you. God's got our back. He's watching out for us. He's going to take care of us. And He will work things out for our good. And I know sometimes that's kind of a hard one to swallow, you know. How can I'm going through all of this? How can this work out for my good? And you may not see how it worked out for your good for years down the road. All of a sudden, the light dawns. That thing worked out for my good in the long run. In the long run, it worked out for my benefit. He goes on to say that His grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. His grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul, he went through a lot of problems. He went through a lot of hardships. And look around you today. We find Christians today that are going through a lot of problems, a lot of hardships. We find Christians around the world that their lives are being taken from them. We find Christians in various parts of the world that have been sitting rotting in a jail cell simply because they profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And sometimes we could look and say, well, how is this for their good? You know, I don't know how everything's going to work out myself. I don't know it all. But I know that God has a will and God has a plan and He's going to work it out. His grace is sufficient. And I've said this before, I look and I'm amazed because some of these people are in, if you want to classify denominational groups of Christianity that we may not always think would be the strongest when it comes to some of this stuff, but they're standing firm because they believe that God is in their life and God is going to take care of them and they are not going to turn their backs on God. The other day, there was a hostage situation in Africa, in Mali. And some of them were let go because they could recite verses of the Quran. Oh, okay, you're okay because you can recite these verses of the Quran. The thought came to me, I wonder how many people that claim to be Christians will suddenly rush out and memorize a few verses of the Quran so they could quote something. Just to get off the hook. And quite honestly, I think there are some that will. Because just because you say you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. One person said that doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in the garage makes you a car. You know? There are some people that are Christian in name only. But God has promised to those that have Him in their heart that He will take care of them and He will meet their needs, that His grace will be sufficient for all their needs. His grace is sufficient. He's promised salvation. 1 John 2:25 said, And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. Then in 5:24 of the book of John, he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. This is a promise that He made. And guess what? This promise is available to every living being on planet Earth. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they have believed in. If they come to Him and they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and invite Him into their heart and make Him part of their life and make Him Lord of their life, these promises apply to them. But they, you, I, have to first do what He has required of us, and that's accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Oh yes, other religions have promised various things. The one who promised it is buried somewhere, and in most cases you can go visit their tomb. Yep, he's buried right here. He promised this. Well, it didn't seem to work for him too well. But Jesus said, if you do this, you will have eternal life. But they crucified him on a cross. They buried him. But we also find out that on the third day he rose from the dead. And he was seen of many people for 40 days. And then he ascended into the heavens. Seen by a group of people. He made promises. He kept his promises. But the thing is now, we have to do our part. If we want to benefit from some of these promises that he made to us, we have to do our part. We can't just say, well, Jesus promised that we could go to heaven. So because he promised it, I'm going to go there. But I can do whatever I want right here, right now. I'm going to go to heaven because Jesus said you can go to heaven. Don't work that way. We got to do our part. 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to do our part for his promise to be fulfilled in our life. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking at your heart's door. And it goes on to say, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. But here is the catch to it, so to speak. You've got to open the door. He's not going to come and knock, and if you don't answer, bust down the door and rush on in. It doesn't work that way. You have to open the door. You have to let him in for his promise to be fulfilled in your life. He's also made a promise for our future. In John chapter 14, verses 1 and 3, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's promised a place for us. He said, I'm going to prepare it, that where I am, ye may be also. But we've got to go back here for this promise to be fulfilled in our life. Let him into our heart and life. Let him be Lord and Savior in our life. Let him be the master of our life. Let him be the guiding light in our life. Let him be the one that gives us directions in our life. Let him be the one that rules our life. We have to do our part. He's made a lot of wonderful promises to us. Hundreds of promises. But we have to do our part for those promises to be fulfilled in our life. We can't say, well, Jesus said, I'm preparing a mansion for you, unless and have that promise fulfilled unless we let Him into our heart and life and do our part to be that child of God, that one that He has prepared that place for. He's prepared a place. He's made promises to us. And we know that He keeps His promise. The thing is, do we always keep our promise? God, I'll do this for you. I've probably mentioned this before. When you get to be my age, you've always mentioned some of this stuff before, probably. But I remember a young lady that I went to church with, and she told me one time, I can't sing. And this, you know, there's a lot of songs we used to sing in church that I wish we sang today. This one was called, and we sang this one always at altar call time. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say. I don't remember exactly the words to it the way it goes, but I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. And she said, I can't sing that song because I'm afraid that God will want me to be a missionary. We have to be willing to let God be in control of our life and to go and to do and to say what He wants us to go do and say. And when we do these things, God's promises will be fulfilled in our life. He will be in control of our life. He will be master of our life. And you say, well, I'm giving up my freedom if I let the... No. You're just turning your life over to the one that has control anyway. The one that needs to be in charge. If we follow His direction, we follow His plan, our life will be blessed. And you say, well, I see people that are following God's plan. They say they are. They're following. They're going through some literal hell on earth right now. But God's still in charge. And He has a plan and a purpose. And He keeps His word. He keeps His promises. Father, I thank You today for Your love, Your mercy. I thank You for Your promises, Father. And Father, I pray that those that have heard this message today, wherever they may be, Father, some may have not kept promises that they made. Some may be teetering regarding promises. But Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart today. And Father, if there are those that need to get themselves in good standing with You, Father, on some of these promises, I just pray, Father, that You would speak to their hearts. And Father, for some, You may have been dealing with them about certain things and they've said they will do it and they've hesitated. I just pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their lives today. And Fathers, we've asked these things now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's house, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.